Lord's help this evening, I would direct your attention to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. In the scriptures, as doubtless you are aware, we have descriptions of the Lord's dealing with various people. Sometimes one is quite different from the rest. We have reason to give thanks for this situation, lest any of us should be discouraged because our particular leading of the Spirit of God was not like another's. We should always remember the warning which is given in the scriptures that we should not compare ourselves among ourselves. How many have been discouraged, God alone knows, who perhaps have heard some able to speak of remarkable and dramatic experiences and gracious experiences, and yet have been so discouraged because they have said, I don't know anything about that. That, of course, could be true, but the Word of God says to the law and to the testimony that if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no life in them. If you can find in the Word of God a case, a situation, a leading, a teaching which very much resembles, more than resemble sometimes, to your own particular case, so seek it to yourselves, then take courage, because God has given you in the scriptures and from the scriptures that which confirms your soul that whatever others may say, you have got something to which you may cling. Perhaps some of you might be in the place of the man that was born blind, and after there had been much questioning of this poor man by the Pharisees, he said, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. It'll be a mercy for you and me if we can even refer to one thing. There is a temptation sometimes to cast one thing aside. But let us remind ourselves of what is written, despise not the day of small things. But one thing from God will be worth 1,000 things from men. Now, in the case before us, we read of God's overruling hand in regard to circumstance, to the person, and to the consequence. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. We should remember that, as I have mentioned, I think already, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Certainly, the steps of the Lord Jesus were ordered. And it was not by chance that he passed through Jericho at this particular time. If, in our experience, the Lord has been gracious to us, we may indeed be able to tell our story of a certain situation, and it was not by chance that Jesus passed by in that place at that time. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. The Pharisees would have passed him by. Now, they would have no time for such a man. And certainly, they would not attempt to bring him into their circle of religious professors. But there was something evidently in this man's heart, which is not recorded in the scriptures, that made him want to see Jesus. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Now, all of you have heard a lot about Jesus. Have you inquired who he is, that you may know him for yourself? Now, there was a physical condition that was the impediment in seeing Jesus. And he could not for the press, because he was little of stature, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Being in the way, the Lord met with him. That was in reference to Abram's servant. But here we find the Lord, being in this way, met with this man. And when Jesus came to the place, all these things are to be noticed as God's appointment. There is no if or but. There is no chance. God's appointment. And when Jesus came to the place, he did not come an hour before or an hour later. He came according to his own mind, my will, and knowledge at a particular time, where the glory of God was to be revealed. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up. Generally speaking, the people will say that they need the Lord to look down upon them. They see the Lord high and lifted up, and maybe they feel to be so small, and they need God to look down upon them. But here was a case when the Lord had to look up. You may say that the condition was a physical situation, but its spiritual counterpart has much significance. And he looked up. The pride of our hearts sometimes will lift us far above the Lord Jesus Christ, who was a worm and no man. And therefore, in that condition, which was much the Lord's condition throughout his life, there was this. The Lord had to look up. And it perhaps it has been that God has had to look up. In your case, God knows. God knows his purpose. He knows your heart. That is just a point in passing. But he looked up. And will it not be a blessing if the Lord looks up when you are in quite a wrong position and condition of mind, that if he did not look up, astonishing though it is, he would never see you? You see, not everybody is at all times saying, look how we grovel here below, fond of these trifling toys. Our souls can neither fly nor go to reach eternal joys. There is a time with, and maybe each of us, at varying times when the Lord has had to look up. What a wonderful thing. The Lord knows where we are. Knows where we are in our mind, as well as in our circumstances. He knows where we are according to his divine purposes. So when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. This was no chance seeing. The Lord knew that he was up in that tree before the Lord came to the spot, before the Lord looked up and saw him. At our level, it will be a surprise. But at the Lord's level, it was no surprise. It may be that God, in his beginnings with our soul, has found us in the most unusual and unexpected places. And no one would have thought of looking up, knowing that when the Lord looked up, he would see him. We might have reason to give thanks unto God ourselves that the Lord looked up and saw you and me, found us in a place that if friends and even relations were looking for us, they wouldn't look for us there. They would say, no, he would not be there, she would not be there. And it may be that some of us would be able to bear a humble testimony to the great mercy of God, that God found us in places where nobody else would have found us. They would have said no. They wouldn't be in such a place. They wouldn't go on such a course. Oh, blessed be God. This should be our experience of when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him. And here is another astonishing thing, and it will be to you and me if our name is mentioned. Zacchaeus. And there's a character in the tree. Would the man generally know his name? Has God spoken to you by name? Now, if you should say, but my name is not in the scriptures. I've observed sometimes that when the Lord called Samuel's name was not in the scriptures. So do not think that God would not be able to look up and address you by name because your name is not in the scriptures. And said unto him, Zacchaeus. When we are addressed personally, or as we read in Ezekiel, the word of the Lord came expressly to me, and then it is that we are bound to pay attention. We cannot pass by, we cannot shut our eyes, we cannot shut our ears. There is a direct word to a direct person. And so it was here, and said unto him, Zacchaeus. And it is clear from the context that Zacchaeus immediately became all attention. Now, do we know such an experience in ourselves when perhaps our motives have not been always clear or plain, but then God has spoken and He has called us by name? There is no question about that. If we are called, He calls us by our name, Zacchaeus. And to follow this person named, so that there should be no question as to who he was speaking to, the Lord said, Zacchaeus, make haste. We read in the scriptures that the king's business demands haste. Now, this was a matter of great moment, and therefore Zacchaeus, make haste. There says, not a time to delay. It's not a time for you to stay in the tree. It's not a time for you merely to be curious to see who Jesus is. If you are going to find out who Jesus is, then you've got to come and sup with him. You've got to come much more closely than merely having a mental view of this particular person. No doubt there were many when the Lord was here upon earth who regarded this person. It is very clear that there was much conjecture as to who this man was. As you know, some thought that he was Elias, some thought he was Jeremiah, some thought he was John the Baptist, raised from the dead. And so there was a great deal of discussion amongst those who never came to the right conclusion. But as Peter tells us, we believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Make haste and come down. And there was a purpose in this. And God has a purpose. May we see it in our own lives. A purpose. It's an astonishing purpose, an amazing purpose. Come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Now, whether the person of Christ himself abode there forever, it does not appear that it was so. But the Spirit of God abode in that house. And if God visits your soul with his salvation, you will say that, yes, the Lord God abides with me. You will take up the words of the hymn, "Abide with me, past falls the eventide. Abide with me." Now we notice there was a coming together of God outside of Zacchaeus and God inside him. You see, those that are made ready for heaven, or even in the process, begin by having the Spirit of God within. And the Spirit of God within will answer, so to speak, the Spirit of God without, if I can put it like that. So then, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. That was the Lord himself speaking. For today I must abide at thy house. Now, had this man not been blessed by the grace of God, he would have raised an objection. Perhaps you remember on another occasion in the parable when a feast was made and invitations were sent out to various people. And we have three particular cases of excuse. They all began to make excuse. So there was a falling into these three categories. One said, I have bought some oxen, I've got to go and prove them. And another said that, if I remember rightly, he had bought some land and he had to look at it. And another said, I have married a wife, so therefore I cannot come. But this man, because the Spirit of God was in it, because the Almighty God has spoken, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. There was a ready reception. He made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Now that is a general picture before us here. But how many of God's people have been thankful for this record of Zacchaeus? If we read a little farther down in verse 9, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come into this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. What an important consideration this is. The Lord came to seek. A lot of emphasis is very much made regarding that he came to save sinners. But the sinners that he saves will all be sinners that he sought out. If you have begun to be a seeker, as people say, and God didn't seek you out in the first place, then you're on very bad ground. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, in which case you had got your face in another direction. It was the last thing in your mind to seek the Lord. Even despite the fact that we have in the 55th of Isaiah, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. And perhaps some of you might be able to remember a time, and perhaps with some of you it's a time now, when you are not interested. Others can seek, others can call upon the name of the Lord, but I am not interested. This man who was a publican, that is, an exactor of taxes from his own brethren, he would have been wrapped up in his business. Now, I'm sure some of us will know what that means, when we've been wrapped up in our business. And if the Lord had not sought us out, we should still have been wrapped up in our business, or and in the affairs of this life. Whether it might, of course, have been in the domestic scene. And we needed God to do to us as he did to Zacchaeus, to seek him out. And God knows the place. Just mark the spot, a piece of ground where Jesus did thee meet. Notice that what Erskine says, he did not said where you met Jesus, but where Jesus did thee meet. And it is important for us to get things the right way round. Too many get things the wrong way round. Now, going right up the mark, when I heard a sermon recently in which the minister drew attention to people who say we are now met together. Well, that sounds all right. He said the word of God says that we are gathered together, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. So are you met together? Or are you gathered together? Gathered together because you're God's people and he's gathering you, and you and he is in the midst of you. About to look at this again, when Jesus came to the place. How wonderful are God's appointments. If our religion is right, we shall find that we can indicate a certain place and a certain spot, perhaps more than once, when we can say, Jesus met me there. If he hadn't met me, I shouldn't have been met at all. I wouldn't have met him. So have we got our religion the right way? And says, yes, it was Jesus, my friend, when he hung on the tree that opened the channel of mercy for me. Zacchaeus heard this word, make haste. Though the circumstances are somewhat different, we turn to the Damascus Road, when the Lord spoke to Saul of Tarsus. He wasn't going to meet the Lord, was he? Well, he was going on his nefarious business of hailing men and women to prison and to death. And those men and women were disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord met him. He didn't meet the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is, dear friends, if we can say, yes, the Lord met me, and he stopped me, and he said, make haste, and he said, come down. And to our astonishment, he said, today I must abide at thy house. Well, this is all in regard to God's covenant made with David's Lord before the sinner fell. So then, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. We need to observe very, very carefully every word of the scripture. The reception of this man, whose heart was now a new heart, the heart of the nature of the nature of God in it, he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. It was not with a half-hearted feeling. Maybe we would know the experience that someone comes to our door and, well, we invite them in. We are not wholehearted about it, but we think that we ought to invite them in. At other times, oh, how wonderful it is when we feel so differently. And how do you feel? And how do I feel about the Lord Jesus Christ? It is to be feared that some, even professing Christians, would be completely embarrassed if the Lord knocked on their door and said, "And come, and I've come to stay with you." Would they have to put a few things away, the things that ought not to be in the house? What a blessing it is if you and I can be honest and say, "Well, he can come any time. I would welcome him, and there's nothing in my house of which I am ashamed or of in connection with I should be condemned. It will be my joy." Notice, he received him joyfully. Now, here was a change of heart, and it was a change of heart with Saul of Tarsus as well. Because he said what he'd never said before, "What wilt thou have me to do?" Have you ever put that question to the Lord? What wilt thou have me to do? Not what I want to do, but what wilt thou have me to do? Let me know thy mind, let me know thy will, and give me grace and power to do it. With regard to Saul of Tarsus, of course, it meant a great turnaround. The people whom he had hated and was willing to go to great lengths to make their sufferings great, he now joined them. And he was willing to suffer. And as he tells the church at Philippi, he counted all things but dross and dung and dross that he might win Christ and be found in him, not having on his own righteousness, but that righteousness which was through the faith of, which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Now I believe we can say that Zacchaeus felt the same, because if you receive a person, and particularly if you receive Jesus Christ, it is joyfully, there is gladness. Just let us think of the words that come to my mind in the fourth psalm, where a great testimony is given by the psalmist. "There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in our heart, my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased." Joyfully. He made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Now, this experience of Zacchaeus was the evident working, the internal working of the power of the Spirit of God in his soul. The power that came forth from the lips of the Lord Jesus. Make haste and come down. You will not forget today, if God should make an application of this word, come down from your objectives, which are very high, from the points that you are, the things that you are thinking about. There is the case of a young student who was at university, and he was interviewed one day by the professor, and the professor asked him in regard to his future, and he said, what are you going to do when you leave university? And the young man said, well, he was hoping to get a good position in life. They would start in a fairly low position, but he hoped to progress. And the professor said, and what then? Well, he said, I hope to be able to get a promotion and eventually I hope to retire and live comfortably. So the professor said, and what then? What then? Well, he said, I suppose I shall find some useful thing to do in my retirement. And what then? Well, he said, I shall die. What then? And here the young man was brought to his senses, if I can say that. And in making this account and referring to this account, I do not want to discourage anybody in their ambitions. But do remember that you can go up and be up in a tree, so to speak, and looking down upon the Lord Jesus Christ and thinking that you're quite able to manage things without his help. Now, that will be a great day in your life, and we shall not, I shall not in any way say that will come, of course, when you're so old, because God can speak to us when we're very young. He can speak to us well, when we're a little older. He can speak to us when we've advanced to positions in life. And he can speak to us when he sees that we're up there and he is down here. So then, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. He wasn't apparently was not to be at a loss. At least he was contented with those things that were honest. His position in life was a dishonest profession, recognized in that way. He was willing to leave that and to give everything up for Christ. In our religion, have we come to that place where we are willing and ready to give everything up for Christ? Because if we do not give up everything for Christ, that is, in its principal thinking, then, well, what you will be thinking when we come to our dying bed? Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Broadly speaking, if God was to speak to any of you this evening, make haste and come down. Here it is, just gone 8 o'clock. Make haste at midnight the cry went forth, and the door was shut, and those who were ready went into the marriage supper, and the door was shut. So, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. There's no time for delay. Now, this is God speaking. Do not mistake, it's me speaking. I know I'm using the words and the expressions, but if God should speak to you this evening for a reason not known to me, Zacchaeus, whoever you are, make haste and come down. For today I must abide at thy house. Thy house. The house of this tabernacle. Well, the word of God speaks of this. Rather, the Apostle Paul refers to it in the second epistle to the Corinthians. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So make haste and come down from your high perch and be found sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in your right mind. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. And he made haste, then came down and received him joyfully. This was no decision of the carnal mind. Whatever you may think, your carnal mind will never make haste and come down. If it should consider the matter, if it should perhaps hinder you for a time, yet you'll soon return, because your heart is still not right with God. With regard to Zacchaeus, without any doubt, his heart was made right with God. It is very difficult to describe the change of heart when Jesus comes. To think that you can leave everything and part with everything willingly, lovingly, and find that the loss that you have sustained is nothing compared with what you've gained. One well-known doctor and preacher in earlier years gave up his position in Harley Street to become a minister of the gospel. And somebody said to him afterwards, "What a lot you've given up to become a minister of the gospel." His reply was, "I haven't given up anything that's been a loss to me. I've gained everything, but I've lost nothing." How do we look at our profession? If we've had to give up some things, if we've had to depend upon God and live from God and by his power, if it has been our privilege and blessing for him to abide with us, and remember in the 15th chapter of John we read of the importance of abiding. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. So, for today I must abide at thy house. You see, it was not an invitation which needed a response from Zacchaeus. God was putting into the heart of Zacchaeus that readiness of will. And as he received the Lord, as we might say, with open arms. Have you received the Lord with open arms? This may not be an everyday experience, but in your beginnings, did you ever feel that you could receive the Lord with open arms, to think that he had looked down from the height of his sanctuary and looked upon you? You who were not seeking after him at all. And he looked upon you with love in his heart. Undoubtedly, when the Lord looked up and saw Zacchaeus, he knew he was there. And the love of God reached him. And so he said, the Lord said, Zacchaeus, come down. But not just to have a friendly chat or to have a little explanation of what is happening and who I am. I must abide at thy house. Now, it is one thing for us to have a casual visitor and another thing for us to have them living with us all the time. Does the Lord live in your house? Does he live in mine? If so, there's going to be a change from what it once was. Because we're going to hear a little check here and a little check there and a query raised in our mind, not by our carnal mind, but by the Spirit of God, as to is this according to the will of God? That which you are contemplating, will God go with you? And you will say, he is in your heart, leave me not until I say, Father, thy will be done. So then, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Can you, dare you, be in a place going along in this evil world without the presence of God with you? What a dangerous situation, because if God's presence is not with you, then whose presence will be with you? Surely Satan will take the opportunity, and especially if there is that done in your heart that indicates even to him that God has a favor towards you. There is a case in the scriptures of a man that had a devil, and he was cast out. And after a time, this devil returned to the man, and he found the man's heart cleaned and dusted and so on. What did he do? He went and got to himself 7 other devils more wicked than himself, and they entered into that man, and that state of that man in the end was worse than in the first place. So then, how important it is that we should know the experience that the Lord Jesus is with us. I am with thee. Under all conditions, under all circumstances. Now, if the Lord is with us, and we are walking with him and he with us, is it not true to say that we should want to hear his voice sometimes? I know it is possible for people that are in trouble and deep thought might walk a long time without saying a word. But if you are downcast, and the Lord is walking by your side, you'll want him to give you a knowledge that he's with you by his speaking a word to you. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward were the words that the Lord spoke to Abraham. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. We are reminded of the great trial of faith that must come upon the Lord's people in this world of woe. And so the Apostle Paul, he writes to the Ephesians, and he says, wherefore take hold, put on the whole armor of God, for that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand therefore, having your loins girt with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me. For today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Oh, as it may be, our favored lots, each of us, if it could be the Lord's good pleasure to bring us to that point. Some of us have known it already, I feel confident, to bring us to that point where we receive him gladly, gladly. Then will I tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour I have found. I'll point to his redeeming blood and say, behold the way to God. Amen.
This evening by singing hymn number 771. The tune is Remington 395.